Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. Quorum being present. Representative Banyan moves the minutes from Tuesday, March 6, 2012. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative House.
It's on shorter paper than normal. Are we running out of money?
I believe that is part of the money-saving ideas around the building. Any other discussion? Seeing no other discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, our first item up for today is House File 2738. This is the voter ID bill. And if I could ask Representative Kiffmeyer to come to the testifiers table. Representatives, this is our second constitutional amendment that comes before the Rules Committee. As you may remember, under Rule 4.15, these bills actually come before the committee as opposed to just being placed on the calendar, so they're actually before our committee. The purpose and the job of our committee is to determine whether or not the constitutional amendments are in the proper form and structure. That is the purview of this committee. And I would ask that our discussion be limited to that portion of the bill and our job ahead. That being said, I will move Representative Kiffmeyer's bill 2738 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Rules Committee. Very pleased to be with you here today on House File 2738 on this constitutional amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, in regards to what you have said, this bill is in the correct form for a constitutional amendment, and I ask for your support and vote.
Discussion. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kiffmeyer, while it may be in proper form, I guess I'm wondering if it's the proper time to do a constitutional amendment. And so I guess I'm wondering if you could explain to me, given the Secretary of State, whose job it is to run elections, has brought forward a bipartisan opportunity for us to seriously give consideration to, that would, I think, be better for the voters. And why we're proceeding forward with a constitutional amendment, which is, in my opinion, a very big step to take to touch our Constitution in this way, when there are alternatives that the Secretary of State is comfortable with and is interested in having heard. And so we do have those bills. I believe Senator Howe is filing it this week, and the House side has already filed and waiting for its number, why we would be moving ahead right now with this particular bill.
Thank you, Representative Norton. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Norton, and members. First of all, the quote alternative kind of proposal was strictly a photo. It did not have an ID component to the proposal. It was nothing except a picture kind of a use that would be not in the hands of the voter with their ID, which gives a greater degree of certainty that they are who they say they are because they have that ID in their possession. It did not include that component. This was a photo component, whether it be electronic or paper, but it did not include an ID. I find that it was interesting that in regards to the photo previously, that was not acceptable because people grow beards, they change their hair, they get different glasses, and that was not a reliable way of doing identity. And so that alternative, I don't even see it as an alternative. It was a photo, but with no ID.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Norton.
Well, as I understand it, it would, and I have a sample of it right here, it would actually be on the same voter registration with address and name as we currently have. It would just be adding that photo, which folks seem to think is important to verify that that person is indeed who they say they are. And the Secretary of State has a bill that perhaps could be amended to address some of your concerns if, in fact, it was heard. And it makes sense to me that we would move forward with the Secretary of State, again, whose job it is to protect the voters and the integrity of the voter system in the state, to hear his opportunities and his alternative before we would move ahead with something as big as a constitutional amendment.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Norton. We gave such a bill last year, and the Secretary of State testified against it. And to my knowledge, he has not changed his mind in that regard.
Representative Norton.
Well, in fact, I think you'll find that if the bill is given a hearing, he would very much like to have this alternative discussed. He's worked very hard to try to find an alternative that will not disenfranchise voters and cause folks to not be able to do same-day voting, which, as I'm looking at your bill, we would have a problem with. Same-day voters' votes would not be able to vote, or if they did, what will happen to that vote?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Norton. This constitutional amendment allows for same-day registration, allows for absentee voting, allows for mail balloting, gives the necessary flexibility to vote for every eligible voter with Minnesota's current law. And I think that this exactly does allow every one of those things and will not disenfranchise a single voter.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Norton.
Thank you. As I looked at it, it seems to me that if you show up same day voting, that somehow you're going to have to be verified if you don't have an ID. And how will that happen?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Norton, in regards to the same day voting, first of all, there will be a very strong voter education effort, mailings, hotlines, working with Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services. I'm confident that if this is passed by the voters, that we will enact it in a bipartisan fashion to make sure that we are inclusive to every single eligible voter to get them the IDs that are necessary. And so I'm very confident of that, Representative Norton, that we will work together to do that. There will be no disenfranchisement.
Mr. Chair, the question still hasn't been answered.
Representative Norton.
Thank you. If someone comes and wants to vote on the same day and they do not have an ID, how are you going to make certain that, like now, we continue with that strong voter turnout? What is going to be the process for that voter who comes and wants to do same-day registration?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Norton. In regards to that, first of all, starting with the voter education campaign, making a very concerted effort. And if, after all of that, on Election Day, they still do not have their ID, they'll be able to cast a provisional ballot.
Provisional ballot. Well, Mr. Chair, that is a concern to me and will be a concern to many voters who want their vote counted on the day of the election. I'm going to again state my objection to what we're doing here today. There is an opportunity to have an alternative bill, not messing with our state's constitution, but a statutory change that will address some of the concerns on your side of the aisle, some of the concerns that some of my voters have, and in a way that doesn't disenfranchise voters. And so I know I'm going to be ignored, I would strongly encourage you to pull back on this and wait and give this other bill a hearing and get it through the process, and perhaps you could amend that in a form so that you would like that as well.
Thank you, Representative Norton. Further discussion? Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would like to second some of Representative Norton's comments to the effect that I think this is not an appropriate subject for a constitutional amendment. I think it's equivalent to putting the rights of the minority to a majority vote, and in a representative democracy, that is not due process. I have a strong philosophical objection to the process itself. That being said, I'd like to go to the wording of the bill on line 119 and ask for a definition of substantially equivalent.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Brinert. In regards to substantially equivalent, that is a situation where when you are using mail balloting, absentee balloting, and voters on Election Day, that no matter which one of those ways that they would be casting their ballot, that a method of verification of their eligibility prior to a ballot being cast or counted, but substantially equivalent means that there's a difference on Election Day when the voter is standing in front of you, and there's a difference when you're casting an absentee ballot. So substantially equivalent means that equivalent substantially.
Thank you. Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My difficulty with that, Representative Kiffmeyer, is nothing in the bill itself says what you just said to me. So I feel like there's a lot of room for interpretation with that definition, and once this is in law as stated, what will be the reference for that term? Is there any legal precedent or definition in statute or law currently that would give us an exact definition? Because I feel like there's the room for interpretation could create a level of inequality in enforcement of photo ID.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Bernard, I just believe that substantially equivalent is a well-defined word. If you take a look in the Webster's Dictionary or any dictionary that you would choose to look at, that it is a definition that I think common sense of the voters can clearly see the intent of this legislation.
Representative Bryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The common sense of the voters is not at issue in my judgment. It's the manner in which we enforce statute. When words are in law, someone has to give this a definition or interpretation, and I'm going to say it without doubt, this will go to the courts, and they'll be giving this a definition. And my concern is that it be fair and non-discriminatory, and that we aren't discriminating against the minority through this majority proposal. And I think this is one of the avenues where that issue is most succinctly expressed, because substantially equivalent, while you might be able to argue what the dictionary definition is, how that applies to what is recognized as photo ID will be a subject for the legislature to determine. It's not yet determined in statute.
Thank you, Representative Bryan. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too was wondering about the substantially equivalent, because when this bill first came, I don't recall that being there, and it was voter ID at the voting place, and we were wondering, how do you deal with absentee ballots, because more and more people are actually voting absentee. So it seems to be that the answer to that is that there will be a substantially equivalent eligibility verification prior to any ballot being cast, and that is a jumble of words, too. I would agree with Representative Brainard. But what would that mean practically, in a practical form, when you were casting an absentee ballot? What do you do, photograph your driver's license and send it in with your application? How do you actually verify by voter ID that you can cast an absentee ballot?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Lane and members. Representative Lane, according to current law, eligibility verification is occurring in current law. I think the Secretary of State has testified to that already. And so what we want to be sure is that we have the substantially equivalent, so we have the flexibility necessary for election day and absentee voting and mail balloting for all of those who would not be able to vote in person, that we have the eligibility verification that occurs even today, but on a substantially equivalent basis, so that we have some flexibility for our soldiers and for overseas voters, for people who are in nursing homes, that we can be able to comply with the requirements but have the substantially equivalent language, because the manner might be a little different process for each one of those voters. And that's an important thing. We want every single person who is eligible to vote able to cast their vote, but also have equal treatment no matter when you register or prior to casting your ballot, that you have that equal treatment. And so current law has a lot of what we are already talking about in eligibility verification. Substantially equivalent gives us the flexibility needed for all those circumstances.
Representative Lane.
Thank you. When a person casts an absentee ballot now, they have to verify by their signature, and I believe somebody has to witness that. There is no voter ID element to it, and if this is a photo ID bill, I am still confused as to how that could be, in any manner, shape, or form, substantially equivalent for an absentee ballot. I think that's an unanswered question, and I don't think that of your same words that you just gave would answer that for me. So that's, to me, still remains an unanswered question. And this is a side point. I just find that this is a bill that's spending millions of dollars by state and local governments for a problem we don't have.
Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative Kiffmeyer, to the absentee ballot question. I'm under the impression, or I was told by somebody, and maybe you can verify this, so that our current absentee system, does it use any sort of ID or relationship now, and do you have to write that down or anything on the ballots that we cast right now?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Westrom and members, yes. On the current absentee ballot application, there is a space for a driver's license Minnesota State ID card, last four digits of your Social Security number. There's also a checkbox if you have none of them, and to be used only if you don't have any of those three. But that is current law based on the current statutes. Shall a constitutional amendment be adopted by the voters, the legislature would then be able to proceed in enacting language, and they might choose a variety of methodologies by which they could maybe strengthen that based upon the new constitutional language.
So, Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, to Representative Lane's concern and Representative Reinhart's, we're already using photo ID for absentee ballots. If somebody has one, they have to, they're supposed to list it on that ballot, right?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Representative Westrom, we are using ID, but remember, they're not an in-person voter.
Correct.
So the substantially equivalent approach is using an ID number. The legislature next year could take a variety of other methods. I would support using a passport number or military ID number. You could use a tribal ID number. Any one of those could be added as well to make sure. And remember, with the strong voter education and the outreach effort, I'm sure that all 134 of us as legislators, each in our own districts, will be able to be communicating with our own districts and do a very strong effort to make sure that we work with every one of our voters. I mean, we have 134 in the House and 67 in the Senate that I'm sure will be working together in very strong bipartisan fashion to reach out to every single absentee male balloting voter, everybody else, to make sure they have that ID and that they're able to vote.
So, Mr.
Representative Westrom.
Representative Kiffmeyer. So if I list my ID card on my absentee ballot, does that not give the county auditor's office a way to track down if my ID exists, if there was a question?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westrom, absolutely it does.
Very good.
Thank you. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a comment first, constitutional amendments ought to be bipartisan. So I think that's one of the biggest problems I have. We have a proposal here which is very partisan. And usually constitutional amendments have a more broad, support. But over and above that, I'm just noticing on line 120, the comment or the language, valid government-issued photograph. At what level of government will be providing that photographic identification, and what level of government will be paying for it?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the language in here says the state must issue. So the state would be paying for those at no charge identification to an eligible voter. So, and in regards to valid, valid is generally defined as current and valid. Means that it's not been, that you have that. And also the state ID card would be a no charge ID card given to those eligible voters who wouldn't have a driver's license. Government issued would allow us to do a military ID, would allow us to do a tribal ID, would allow us to do a passport. Those would be the commonly understood government issued.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Does it also include a college identification ID as well?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Benson and members. In regards to college students, we, in doing government issued, that means a college student attending school here in Minnesota can use their state driver's license ID card or a passport if they happen to have it, because identity is who you are. Where you live is the issue for college students, their residency. According to Minnesota law, they can claim residency by current law, and current law would continue to apply for their proof of residency here in Minnesota, is that's where they choose to vote and where they claim to residency as a student.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd like to follow that a little more carefully. Let's assume we have a student whose home residence is International Falls, and he is or she is attending Mankato State University, full-time student. Would the student identification at Mankato State College qualify him or her to be able to vote in Mankato?
Representative Kipling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Benson and members, that student would probably have a driver's license or a state ID card, and so they would be able to use a residency. The issue of doing a student ID, remember, what we are looking at here is making sure every student who is eligible to vote and is a resident of Minnesota can vote. A student in International Falls can choose to vote from their home residence, or they can change their residence to a college. They can use that same driver's license or state ID card if they need to get a free state ID card. The issue for us is making sure that eligible voters are able to vote. We've accomplished that with this constitutional amendment for those students.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe it's because it's early yet this morning and I'm not quite cognizant of what you're saying, but could you clarify again, would a university student here at the campus here in the University of Minnesota or at Mankato or any of the state colleges or a private school for that matter, if they have a student identification issued by the university or by the college or the private school, could they use that identification rather than having to drive back to International Falls or whatever part of the state they happen to have resided before they attended school, and use that to vote? Or would they have to use absentee balloting, or would they have to get in a car and drive back to their home community?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Benson, as I've said, that same student who is driving can use that driver's license with current law, a student housing list. They can show proof of residency according to Minnesota current law. It's their choice where they want to vote. But if they are voting, if they live in International Falls and they want to vote in a college campus anywhere in the state of Minnesota, Winona, Mankato, any of those universities, they will be able to use that driver's license and use that with the current law proof of residency for those college students. And for them, they even have a special option, the student housing list. That's current law. And Representative Benson, you're trying to find a way to say that they can or cannot. We have to remember that,
Mr. Chair,
college universities, some of them are government-run, and some of them are private universities. Yeah. We want to make sure there's equal treatment of all of our students, and all of our students can have a driver's license or a state ID card and have the same current law for housing, and the large majority of them already do have the compliant ID.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to note that we're not to read into other people's minds what we're thinking. Representative Kipmeyer was asking you a very legitimate question because this has been a great concern throughout the country.
Representative Benson, the debate before this committee is whether or not this is in the proper form and structure. Of you're getting into a debate with Representative Kipmeyer that I think is perfectly appropriate for the floor.
Okay.
And that's probably where we should have it. Representative Plowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kipmeyer, over the last 6 years, the Government Operations Committee, both under DFL and our control, has heard various versions of voter ID. Simultaneously, we have had reports from the Secretary of State's office of record turnout, participation in voting. In fact, historic turnout, leading the nation in presidential elections on voter turnout. Should this become part of the Constitution, how do you anticipate your bill impacting voter turnout in Minnesota?
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Representative Kipmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Pawlowski, as has been proven in other states, voter turnout, in particular in Indiana, especially amongst Democrats, has increased. They have a party registration state, so they're able to, and there have been many studies. Almost every year there have been studies, and in other states as well, voter turnout has increased, in particular amongst Democrats in Indiana. My expectation is that when integrity is increased, voter turnout and public confidence increases, and therefore voter turnout has a great potential to increase as well or stay as high as Minnesota usually has done.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I appreciate the news from Indiana, but I'm in the here and now, and I'm in Minnesota, the state that has led the nation in voter participation. And the question is, when you add at least two steps, one, getting a photo, second, there is a cost, and we have had record deficits, how do you anticipate adding extra steps to the voting process in Minnesota impacting historic voter participation? Not Indiana, Minnesota. You were Secretary of State, so.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Representative Kiffmeyer.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Pawlowski, and exactly, during those 8 years, we were number one all 4 years in voter turnout, and my focus was an effort and leading as the chief election official in regards to integrity. And so that was no issue that I didn't carry strongly and support at that time. My expectation is that Minnesota, again, will continue to lead the nation in voter turnout, and especially when you have all the voter education going on and working, all of us working together with our constituencies, I think there's going to be a very strong and preserve Minnesota standing and high voter turnout. That is absolutely, I'm very confident of that, Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, one final question. Will you be disappointed if this becomes part of the Constitution and the extra step of a photo and the increased cost decreases voter turnout in Minnesota and we are no longer the leader in participation in elections?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Pawlowski members, I expect Minnesota's high voter turnout to be there with this constitutional amendment, and there will be, as the flux goes, you have presidential elections, gubernatorial elections. We see those patterns go, but I expect Minnesota to be tops in the country in voter turnout, including with a photo ID requirement.
Mr. Chair, one last statement.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I will be very disappointed if this becomes law and these extra steps lower voter participation. I think you're going the wrong way.
Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment that, from my point of view, corrects the record in terms of the actual requirement for absentee voting. The exchange between Representative Westrom and Representative Kiffmeyer left the impression that photo ID is currently required for absentee voting, and that's not the case. Well, it is true that photo ID can be used as one of the means of verifying your identity. There are other opportunities to verify your identity, which do not include a photograph.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to say some of what Representative Briner said. In addition, as I read this bill, people casting an absentee ballot in person the week before the election will not be required to show a photo ID, and yet someone registering and voting the same day of the election will have to have one, and that I don't understand that inconsistency. But the other issue I want to raise, which has been raised, and it doesn't have to do with language, Mr. Chair, but I'm going to say it anyway, and that is the cost. I don't know how we account for the cost of a constitutional amendment, the impact of that in our budget, but we're doing this outside of a budget year. And as I look at the local impact costs here, we have $102,023.3 million in the funding year of 13, and then $4 to $5.8 million in the years after. And I just object strongly to using funds for something to solve a problem that doesn't exist. And Representative Kiffmeyer has not yet, and I know this isn't a full hearing, this is a Rules Committee, but she has not yet done anything to convince me or anyone that I can point to that we are solving a problem that exists. In fact, Minnesota, as she said herself, you know, has a very high voter integrity. It has been tested numerous times in recent years, and there are very few problems outside of felons who have been caught and prosecuted, and showing a photo wasn't going to stop those particular offenders anyway. So I think we're spending a lot of time moving forward in an inappropriate manner on a constitutional amendment, to something that is the responsibility of the Secretary of State in a state with high voter turnout and high integrity already. And while I won't impugn motives, I think there are some.
Thank you, Representative Norton. I think the costs were covered in the Ways and Means Committee, which was the committee before this. Also, Representative Norton, the Secretary of State's proposal, which you seem to be supporting, also would have significant cost if we were to move forward with that. That proposal absent this, but perhaps Representative Kiffmeyer would like to respond to that directly.
And I, too, would like to respond to that amount.
Thank you, Mr. Kiffmeyer. Chairman. Yes, I just wanted to clarify that I said you were quoting me as saying high integrity. We already have it. What I've said is we have high turnout, and I expect to preserve that. I just wanted to clarify that. And matter of fact, we have high access, but I think on the voter registration process, this addresses a greater level of integrity in the voter registration part of elections. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Representative Norton.
And I will just address the difference in costs. The fiscal year costs for startup are could be similar, but the out year, $23.3 million and $4 to $5.8 million in Representative Kiffmeyer's bill, differing from, as I understand, the Secretary of State's at this time being $5 million and $8 million, which is significantly less.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to come to kind of the questions that is before the committee about Representative Kiffmeyer just made a statement that this language is appropriate without any without supporting that in any way whatsoever. But I did want to follow up on one answer that she gave previously. So can you just tell me, and I don't need a lot of sentences, just like short answer that actually answers the question, what's going to be on an ID that doesn't show up on the poll book that Representative Norton is talking about? On my ID, I have my picture, I have my address, I have my donor information. I don't think that's relevant, I suppose, for whether I can vote or not. But as my picture and my address. So I'm wondering what you think you're going to see on an ID that you're not going to see in this electronic poll book with pictures. Because you kind of said, well, it's different, and I'd like you to just explain to me. And you don't have to, I just want to know what you're looking for in addition that's on an ID that wouldn't be in this poll book.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, a photo alone is an unreliable way.
It's not a photo alone, Representative Kiffmeyer. That's what you said.
Representative Thiessen.
You never answers the questions, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Representative Thiessen,
you've had plenty of chances.
Representative Thiessen, Representative Kiffmeyer is answering your question, and if it would allow her to simply answer your question, the respect that I think she deserves, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the photo and the rest of the information that is on the roster, there is no status check. The difference is that you have the ID actually in the hand of the voter, which ties it in, that just looking at photos and a person is not a reliable way of identity, just the photo alone. The fact that they have it in their hand is a big difference. And then that the other system has no way to deal, there is still vouching. According to the Secretary of State's plan, there is still vouching. So if you have no ID, you're not on the roster, not in the system anywhere, you still have vouching according to the Secretary of State's proposal that I understand.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. And
Mr. Chair, I'm not done with my questions.
Representative Thiessen.
All right. Thank you. So,
and we are not talking about the Secretary of State's proposal. We are talking about the bill before the committee, which is Representative Kiffmeyer's bill. And I think we should probably stick to the bill that's before the committee, Representative Thiessen.
Okay. Well, there's language in the constitutional amendment language now that's new that's about this substantially equivalent language. And that very much is within the purview of this committee, Mr. Chair. I don't even think you could argue otherwise. So you're worried about the status check, though, not being on the driver's license? That not being in the poll book, but on the driver's license, can you explain what the status check you're talking about? Could you? I guess I'm missing that one.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just taking a thought to your question, as you asked the question, what's on the roster that is what is on the ID card that is not on the roster, and that was one of those that I thought of that would be on the ID card, which has to do if you are in the country and you have a driver's license, you're here legally, but you have a visa expiration date. That visa expiration date, and I think is in the system, but status check is on the ID card. And there are other people as well who may have some of these, but there is not a complete listing of the information that DPS processing goes through. But I'm just giving you just a couple things and a short answer, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. So, then this substantially equivalent. So, are people going to, if this were to pass and people wanted to vote by mail or vote absentee, I'm assuming because you have to show a valid ID, substantially equivalent, kind of in the common sense Webster's dictionary, equivalent means the same. So substantially the same, which to me, because the showing the picture is so, so important to you, and I get that, that having to show a picture for absentee balloting and for voting by mail, would also substantially equivalent can't mean anything other than that. Isn't that correct?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen. What I am concerned about is about having an ID and using that, whether it's election day where you actually can present it, and that a substantially equivalent methodology for absentee voters could be including that ID number in their application and in the processing, which we already currently have.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
I thought the problem that you're trying to solve, though, with actually showing your ID is that they can look at the picture and see that it's actually you. So maybe instead of having the photo ID having to be shown as an alternative, someone could just, when they show up to the polls, fill out their driver's license. If they forgot their ID at home, write out the driver's license number, write their Social Security number down, which I also understand is something you said would be the substantially equivalent of showing up for absentee balloting. Writing down your passport number, I think, is something else that you said, in the absence of having the actual photo. That seems to me like it would be also substantially equivalent. So would that be something that would qualify here?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen. Those are our soldiers are over in Iraq.
I totally agree that's a big issue.
Here to present their ID in the polling place, so the substantial equivalent could be using their military ID number, and that they can submit their absentee ballot as they can today.
But Mr. Chair, this is going in the Constitution, Representative Kiffmeyer. The courts are going to be looking at that. You're requiring actually to show a picture. So I totally agree with you. We want to make sure that our soldiers can vote. I guess one of the concerns I think people are expressing is that when this language goes into the Constitution, which is what our Rules Committee should be talking about, courts are going to say, okay, it's really important to the state legislature that you have to present a valid government-issued photographic identification before receiving a ballot. Give that to the state, to the election worker. And the courts are going to say, and all voters have to be subject to substantially equivalent eligibility verification. And so the court, maybe what we should do is strike out that sentence, 1.18 and 1.19, because that, I think, would actually be satisfactory to kind of meet your definition. We wouldn't get into this question, and we wouldn't be disenfranchising those folks fighting over in Iraq, because there's no way, I think, that a court is going to look at this language and say, we're demanding a photo ID, because you're saying very clearly on the record here today that photo ID, you got to match up the person's face with the person's that's standing there in front of you. That's how we bring integrity to our elections. That's what you've been saying all day and all through this process. And the courts are going to say, okay, if that's the case, substantially equivalent has to be, I need a picture to look at this other person that's casting their absentee ballot or that's casting their overseas ballot, what have you. I think that's a very serious concern. So I guess, Mr. Chair, I would move to strike the new language on 1.18 and 1.19.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and members, I believe this language as currently written is good, and I would ask for your vote no to this amendment.
I'd ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been asked for, there will be a roll call.
And Mr. Chair, if Representative Kiffmeyer would just explain her answer a little more, how can substantially equivalent not, especially with, again, your emphasis on having to have an ID so you can kind of look the person and match up their face to the picture, how can substantially equivalent mean anything differently? I'd like to actually hear an actual answer to that question.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Representative Thiessen, I am not expecting or asking for election judges to do facial recognition. My basis is that we would have an ID held by the voter or in the presence of the voter, and that a substantial equivalent of that would be able to be using that ID number, which generally is in the hands of the voter themselves, and that for those situations, and I believe that substantially equivalent accommodates those purposes.
And roll call having
and no,
been
Mr. Chair, for, don't cut off the discussion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen, we've been discussing this amendment for 45 minutes.
You're the ones that are bringing this forth. I think we should be talking about
Mr.
Adoption.
Chairman, I moved to Minnesota at the age of 18, and I'm sorry. Everybody else is speaking up without being called on by the chair, so I just thought I'd take it upon myself to do the same thing.
Roll call having been asked for, there will be a roll call. The clerk will take the roll.
This is a constitutional amendment, Mr. Chair.
The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Dean?
No.
Representative Dowd? Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bannion?
No.
Representative Benson?
Yes.
Representative Breinert?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hoppe?
No.
Representative Howes?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Knuth? Representative Lane?
Yes.
Representative Lilly?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Norton?
Is the mother of an active duty military? Yes.
Representative Paymar? Representative Paymar is excused. Representative Pepin? Representative Scott? Representative Scott is excused. Representative Thiessen? Representative Thiessen? Representative Thiessen abstains. Representative Westrum?
No.
There being 9 ayes and 13 nays, the motion does not prevail.
Mr. Chair?
Further discussion, Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. Well, I'm disappointed that we've just voted to disenfranchise our folks serving overseas with the result of this language. I think that's very unfortunate for the state of Minnesota. So in terms of the language, Representative Kiffmeyer, the ballot question says, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to require all voters to prevent valid photo identification on Election Day and that the state provide free identification to eligible voters? Then there's this question about provisional language in the actual body of the text of the amendment, plus there's the language about the substantially equivalent language. So if you could just kind of support your initial argument that the language of this bill actually meets the standard for constitutional questions, because you're not including in the actual question much of the substance of the constitutional amendment.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Thiessen, having reviewed the previous court ruling in regards to the discretion of the legislature in putting the question before the people, that this is the language that we'll be able to explain to the voters this constitutional amendment and give them the information that is necessary to vote on this constitutional amendment, and that is why it is here in this form.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. Representative Thiessen.
Okay, Mr. Chair, so that is the standard, that if the voters need to be able to understand the implications of the constitutional amendment, that's what the court cases say?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Thiessen, the court ruling said that the legislature, it is their purview and their authority to put the language of the question to the people, and that this is a language that is able to give information to the voters in regard, this is the ballot question, Representative Thiessen, and that the legislature has the authority in their bill as we pass it to put it in this form, and that is what I have done.
And Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering what the actual standard is that we have to meet. I understand the legislature has the purview to do it. Clearly we do. But what's the standard that the ballot question has to actually meet with regard to the language that's going to go in the Constitution?
Representative Kiffmeyer, I would imagine that that's an answer for the courts to decide, but you can go ahead and respond to that if you like. Then we're going to go to Representative Knuth, and then we'll move to a vote. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree.
Well, maybe we could ask staff to give us a little bit of update on that, since that's really the central question, as you stated at the beginning, Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen, I think the question was asked and answered. That is probably outside the purview of this. This committee is constitutionally asking and answering those questions. Representative Knuth.
Well, Mr. Chair, you said at the beginning that the main job before this committee is to understand if the language is actually in the form it should be.
And I'm
asking what the standard is, and all I'm asking is for staff to weigh in and say what she represents some court cases. I didn't hear
Representative
what those court cases said.
We are not a court, and this is not a challenge. Representative Thiessen, you can have plenty of time on the floor for these discussions.
Mr. Chair,
perhaps you can clarify that, Representative Thiessen, in a direct question rather than trying to obfuscate and delay this purpose.
Well, okay, we're not. You said at the beginning, Mr. Chair, that our main job today is to see if the language of the bill is satisfied the requirements for a constitutional amendment and a submission to the voters. And I think my question is exactly that. I asked Representative Kiffmeyer, you know, the language doesn't include, so it's a very one-sentence question for the ballot question. The language of the new language in the constitutional amendment is broader than that. It talks about the substantially equivalent language. It talks about provisional ballots that aren't caught in the submission to voters. And so I didn't get exactly the clear answer from Representative Kiffmeyer, and maybe she doesn't know all the standards for that, and that's fair. So I'm just asking staff.
Representative Thiessen, the two pieces of the test are both as number one form, number two structure. Mr. McCormick, would you like to respond to that, please?
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Thiessen, my answer is going to be modest here. Of course, would typically look at the connection between the question that's posed on the ballot and the underlying changes that are addressed in the constitutional amendment, and would attempt to match the scope and nature of the question to the scope and nature of the constitutional amendment. I would not opine on any particular change in front of the committee and what a court might or might not do.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know you keep looking at the clock and want to get out of here, but making sure that we have a good question as I don't think it's a good question to put before the voters, but to make sure I understand a few things before voting to fundamentally change a voting system that works probably the best in the country in terms of voter turnout and not really seeing any fraud, or at least fraud that could be fixed by this. So, Representative Kiffmeyer, I'm stuck on the same language, I think, that Representative Thiessen is, because the question, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to require all voters to present valid photo identification on Election Day and that the state provide free identification to eligible voters? I just have a question from my own experience. So if the amendment goes on the state constitution in that way, let's say I was overseas, maybe in England, going to school, which I was, during a presidential campaign, and I voted that election. I didn't get counted for voting, but my vote was counted according to our elections official. How does the Constitution allow that sort of voting to happen if it's clearly the constitutional question that voters are voting on is showing a voter identification on Election Day?
Thank you, Representative Knuth. Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Knuth, the language of the constitutional amendment before you allows some flexibility through the use of the word substantially equivalent, so that if you were in a situation such as you were overseas, unable to be in the polling place on election day, then you would be able to have a way of using your ID number, which in your case you probably might have had both a driver's license and, because you overseas, a passport. And so that substantially equivalent language would have the flexibility, but it's all tied to the fact that voters in the polling place on election day are required to present their photo ID. The rest of the language is to give sufficient flexibility constitutionally to implement that primary requirement that is in the ballot question.
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chair. Could you, if I have
Representative Knuth,
could you point to me, Representative Kiffmeyer, where that substantially equivalent language is in the ballot question? Because I don't see it. Could you point, literally line and number would be super helpful for me if you could point to that for me.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Knuth, ballot question does not have to have all the content of the changes of the Constitution. That is not required.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer.
I have another question. So, Representative Kiffmeyer, you stated a general, the ballot question doesn't have to have all of the details of the change for in our law. Okay, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to argue all that, but could you, so is what you're saying with that general statement is that the question you're putting before voters in the Constitution of Minnesota to fundamentally change the way our voting system works doesn't include all of the information that they need to make that decision well?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Representative Knuth, Mr. Chairman, Representative Knuth, I believe it does.
Thank you, Representative Kiffmeyer. And with that, actually, we're going to go to a vote, Representative Knuth.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Knuth, I will renew my motion that we pass House File 2738 and send it to the General Register.
Roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been asked for, there will be a roll call. The clerk will note the roll.
Chair Dean?
Aye.
Representative Doubt?
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Banyan?
Yes.
Representative Benson?
No.
Representative Breinert?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom?
No, and Mr. Chair, I was never called on to ask my question.
Representative Hoppe?
Yes.
Representative Howes?
Yes.
Representative Kelly?
Yes.
Representative Knuth?
No.
Representative Lane?
No.
Representative Lilly?
No.
Representative Mack?
Yes.
Representative McNamara?
Yes.
Representative Murphy? No. Representative Norness?
Yes.
Representative Norton?
No.
Representative Paymar? Representative Paymar is excused. Representative Pepin?
Aye.
Representative Scott? Representative Scott is excused. Representative Thiessen?
Well, on a vote to suppress voting, it's interesting that you're suppressing debate, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair.
I'll vote
no.
Representative Thiessen votes no. Representative Westrom?
Yes.
This was an embarrassment, Mr. Chair.
There being 13 ayes and 10 nays, the motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry.
Not on the bill. Not on the bill. We took the vote. Our debate was suppressed. But I have a question, Mr. Chair. If we have concerns or concerns about how a committee has been run and cutting off debate of members when there's clearly questions to be asked, do you know if there's a process? I don't know if the Rules Committee is a process or if we could speak to the Speaker or who we could talk to in terms of member debate clearly being cut off on a question that fundamentally changes voting in the Constitution in the state of Minnesota?
Representative Knuth, we had a very narrow purview. I allowed questions to stray very far outside of that purview, allowed great latitude within that with Representative Kiffmeyer was answering questions that were very far outside the purview for over an hour. I said that we would conclude debate with your questions, which we did.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't feel like I got my question answered, and it was clearly about, I mean, literally, my question's about line 2.6 to 2.8 of the bill, which is the ballot language that would go on the ballot, because I just wanted to make sure I understood from Representative Kiffmeyer that the ballot question doesn't totally encompass the actual changes to the voting system, and I think with something as fundamental of a right as voting, the people of Minnesota, the citizens of Minnesota, should understand fully, not just encompassing generally the changes, but fully understand the changes that they're voting on. And so, Mr. Chair, I just was curious if you could help me understand, you know, in an hour is maybe a long time for a Rules Committee, but not really a long time for debating a fundamental change to our Constitution. And so I just wanted some direction in how to proceed in terms of debate being cut off when we're discussing such an important issue.
Representative Knuth, you can take that up with the Speaker.
Okay.
And Representative Knuth, I could say that I understand that this issue creates a lot of passion on both sides. There's a lot of politics surrounding it. I understand that. I understand there's a lot of cameras and a lot of reporters who have been following this through all the committees. I understand that. Our job to do is pretty tight. Is it in the proper form and structure for the ballot? It's not really for the politics, which we will have a lot of time for on the floor and have a very good debate for on the floor. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on Representative Knuth's comments about what goes in the constitutional amendment. And that's an interesting comment because I'm on the Legacy Committee, and I look back at the ballot question for that, which I didn't vote for it. I had some concerns with it. I'm not sure how you voted, Representative Knuth. But I will tell you that the language, and I could read it if you want, but I could tell you that a lot of the language we talk about in Legacy is the words like supplement and supplant, and we talk about percentages going here and there, and none of that whatsoever is included in the actual question. So I just wanted to point out, I think it would be pretty rare to be able to include everything that was included in the intent of a constitutional amendment in the actual question that's posed to the voters. And this certainly is not changing precedent. We did it as early as this, and it's the things we discuss are clearly different than what was actually posed to the voters.
Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since in the Tax Committee, we say if your name is referenced directly, you always get to respond to the point. So, and I appreciate the point, Representative Pepin. And I call me crazy, but I think amending the Constitution to raise the sales tax for 25 years to pay for things like clean water and habitat is a very different question than amending the Constitution to fundamentally change people's access to voting rights. They're two very different things. And I just wanted to get a better understanding from Representative Kiffmeyer how she thought saying presenting a valid photo identification on election day and that the state provide for identification to eligible voters, how that would interact with someone like myself who lived overseas during a presidential election year. And, you know, if I was voting on that question overseas, I'd say, well, I can't do that. I can't show a photo identification on election day, and there's no wiggle room in that question to the voters. And so I was just really trying to understand that better because I think it's a pretty big deal to amend the Constitution to fundamentally change voting rights.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, and I think I somewhat agree with Representative Knuth on them being very, very different questions. I would guess that if the voters in 2008 had known that one of the places that their taxpayer dollars would go, for one example, $45,000 for a speaker for a library event for 1 hour, that's how taxpayer funds were used in this amendment. And I think that voters would be very surprised to learn that. $45,000, that would buy a teacher for a whole year at a district. But no, thanks to the legacy money, we got to hear a speaker who later tweeted, by the way, that he would have done it for free. But since there's legacy money that was available to him, he did it. So I think that your contention that these are very different questions is very accurate, because taxpayers are spending a lot of money to some programs, some of which are very good, some of them are a little dubious. But here, I think that when we're looking at people needing an ID for things, a photo ID for things like buying beer, using a credit card, cashing a check, things like that. I think this is an integrity issue. I think the reason that this is a bipartisan issue, maybe not in the legislature as much, but bipartisan to statewide voters, is because that the very idea of being able to the right to vote is so fundamental that the very least we ought to do is to have a photo identification to vote. I think that that stands clearly for the integrity. But anyway, thanks for the 2 seconds.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of process questions to you. When do you anticipate this amendment coming up on the House floor? The last one that came up was about 6 hours of debate. So can you be specific to date when this one's coming up? And then I have one more.
Yes, Representative Pawlowski. No, I can't give you an answer to that question.
All right. The second one would be, how many more constitutional amendments do you anticipate this committee taking up, and what might they be?
Representative Pawlowski, hopefully very few.
So, Mr. Chair, you anticipate we may have one or two more?
That's up to the body in the process. There's several in process at this time, and I don't know the exact status of where they are in the committee process.
Well, again, given the length of time here, we may want to budget our time differently.
Point well taken, Representative Pawlowski. Thank you, sir. Representative Westrom.
Chair, I'm wondering if Representative Pawlowski is promoting to bring back the gag time rules on the House floor. Is that what you're concerned about, Representative Pawlowski? I'm not advocating for it, but if you want to promote that, we
I don't think that's
back.
The question, Representative Pawlowski, but you can go ahead and answer it if you like.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I would never have characterized them the way you did, and given what happened today, I would hope that you might want to go back and consider them.
All right. Next, members, we'll move the proposed calendar for Monday, March 19th in the calendar. I'm going to go ahead and propose supplemental calendar for Monday, March 19th, 2012. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Thiessen, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So do you have any idea what is so these will be eligible for the floor today? Do you have any idea what the calendar for the day that we'll be taking up today will be?
Representative Thiessen, as is every day, anything on the calendar is eligible to be brought up on the floor at any time.
And Mr. Chair, I understand that, but I just oftentimes you have knowledge in advance and have been kind to share it with us in the past. The difference this time is we just got this calendar for the day when we walked in today, as opposed to what you've been very generous to us in the past of giving us at least a day's advance notice. And so I'm wondering if the plan is to take up any of these bills today, just so we can plan ahead, or if you have a plan for taking up some other bills that are currently on the calendar today.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. As we move closer towards the end of session, as you know, things will ramp up faster, and to be prepared for anything on the calendar. And to the extent that we can give you a heads up in advance of that, we will certainly try to accommodate that. I'll renew my motion for the calendar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Thank you, members. Motion prevails. We are adjourned.